Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Gerald with us. Gerald, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Leticia. My name is Gerald Collins, and if you see behind me here, I guess that way, I'm the founder of Run Rev Coaching, and essentially I got the name because when I first started going online quite a few years ago, I adopted the online moniker of Run Rev because at the time I was a runner, so I liked the run, and I was a minister, so it was Run Rev. And it was also a nod to an 80s icon. If you're ever familiar with the notation of Run DMC, I was born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s. So it was a fun tongue-in-cheek nod to an 80s icon.
Who is also a Rev. So hey, it works well. So I'm so excited to have you here today. We're going to kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode to me is a state where you're existing. It's a case where you're barely getting your day-to-day life and activities done. You're doing the bare minimum, so you're not doing anything extra. You're just surviving. You're doing what you need to do to get the bills paid. You're doing what you need to do to make sure your family's barely taken care of, but you're not really in the mode to go out and enjoy time with friends or family. You tend to isolate yourself. And even when you're around people, you feel both physically and emotionally withdrawn. You don't want to see anyone. You don't want to talk to anyone. And those that you do talk to, you almost feel like they don't understand what I'm going through. They don't understand me, that they can never figure out what this is going on. And in my case, with my family, I was a jerk. I was short. I was just hateful to my wife and my child. And I also knew that I was in survival mode, but I didn't know how to get out of it. I knew I was just going through the motions. And honestly, the fact is that almost made it worse because I felt like I wasn't being a good father, I wasn't being a good husband. And then that feeling of not being enough led me deeper into the survival mode, which then made me more of that same behavior, which then led me deeper into the survival mode. And it was a never-ending spiral.
It definitely becomes a spiral because the narratives that we hold as a result of recognizing that we are stuck then becomes self-fulfilling prophecies because we don't know how to challenge that narrative. So, Ron Rev, tell us your story to and through survival mode.
So my main survival mode started when I lost my mother somewhat unexpectedly in 2011 to breast cancer. I had dealt with depression on and off for most of my teenage and adult life. I didn't even know till I was 23 what the word dysthymia meant. I just thought that's the way that life was. And so I had dealt with some mental health issues almost all my life. At that time, I didn't want to tell anyone about it. I was very secretive. I would go, when I finally hit a major episode, I would go get help, but I didn't want anyone to know that I was dealing with mental health issues. It had a huge stigma around it, and I didn't want to let anyone know. And that's important because while I was dealing with it, no one or very few people in my circle of friends or family knew that I'd been dealing with this most of my life. But when I lost my mother unexpectedly in 2011, and we had known she had breast cancer 17 years earlier. So it wasn't 100% unexpected, but the reason I say it was unexpectedly is she'd gotten breast cancer, went into remission for 15, 17 years, and it came back. And she was undergoing chemotherapy. Her tumor markers were decreasing, and it looked like she was winning the battle again. Except for she wasn't. She had been having some issues for about 2 months prior to this. And I found out later that she'd went on a Wednesday for a chemotherapy treatment and immediately sent her to the emergency room because of some markers, some blood issues. And they basically told her, "You're done." She had met with hospice on Thursday, and then she met with me and my wife for the first time on Friday. So we found out on a Friday that she was under hospice care. She was still able to talk and communicate with me and my family, just like you and I right now. But then it took a very quick downturn. By Saturday, she had got to the point where she was only able to speak one or two sentences at a time. And then by Sunday, she was down to maybe two or three word sentences. And then by Monday, she was pretty much almost catatonic. She might make some noise, but she wasn't talking. So I found out on a Friday she was in hospice care. Monday night at 11:15, she had pretty much passed away. So in about 72 hours, I went from having the person in my life who was my singing partner, who was my biggest supporter in life, and my dad was as well. But I went from having this huge person I had a bond to, who was so much a part of my life, to they were gone. And the one thing for me that always helped me come through depression, helped me deal with issues, was my music. My mom was before she married my father, she was a semi-professional country western singer. She had raised me most of my life singing, and music was totally in our household. And she was my partner. She was my song partner. And so I lost my mother. I lost my music partner. The things that were my supporter, the things that helped keep me grounded, the things that brought me joy were gone. And my father, he was always a part of my life. He was a great supporter, but he just lost his wife of 50 years. He was a ship afloat of himself. That sent me into probably one of the darkest times of my life. And I just lost all purpose. I lost all meaning to life. And the thing that used to help bring me out in music was brought no joy either, because if I went every time I tried to sing, it was either I just didn't have the joy or the purpose to sing, or every song I would come up with reminded me of her, which then sent me into a deeper spiral of grief and depression. And I knew I was in, and that's when I knew I was in survival mode. And I honestly knew I was there because I could tell that I was just existing. I was the entire world, just even on the brightest day, seemed like I was in the darkest hour. It's like nothing had a purpose, nothing had a meaning. There was no reason or rhyme to it. And then about a year later, my wife looked at me and said, "Honey, I love you. And I absolutely would do anything for you, but I can't stand you right now. You have got to do something. I don't really care what you do. I'm not telling you what you have to do, but you've got to find something, some way, somehow to deal with this depression, or me and your daughter are gone. I can't live with you any longer like this." And it was, she was fair. I mean, that was the state I was in. And honestly, I don't blame her, because for me, that was the wake-up call, or the catalyst, if you will, that I needed to say, I absolutely will make a change. I knew something had to change, but since I wasn't in survival mode, I was in that mode of just existing. I didn't have any reason to change. I knew I wanted to change per se, but I didn't have any reason to change. I was just trying to figure out how to get out of this. I was so far down it, I couldn't figure out a way out. And that was the catalyst to go, you need, I have to change because I can't lose everything I've worked for. See, if that would have been around 2012, that means we had been married about 8 years at that point. Yeah, that's right, 8 years. So we were just shy of our eighth anniversary, and I didn't want to lose her. I didn't want to lose my daughter, but she was fair and right in telling me that if you don't change, I'm gone because you're miserable.
Wow. So you had this reconciliation that you were in survival mode. Your wife was like, "Listen, Gerald, I can't stand you anymore. You gotta figure this out." So what did that look like, figuring it out and getting back on your feet?
For me, it was, I just decided that on a whim, and honestly, I don't even remember why I chose this route, other than the fact it was just something in the back of my mind that I wanted to try. And I figured, well, good a time as any. I made the decision that at 39 years old, I wanted to run a 5K. I would, up until that point, I'd go out. I was in the marching band in high school. I was active in that respect, walked all over campus and college. And when I would go out and I would just try to exercise up to that point, I'd be out walking. Well, to get my heart rate up, I'd have to walk really fast. So I was like, well, if I'm having to walk fast, I surely can run. So I just got the idea that I was just going to become physically active and I was going to run a 5K. I never had any intentions of doing other than anything other than running one solitary single 5K. It was supposed to be a one and done event. And so I had never even run anything in my life. It took me a month just to build up to 1 mile. I had went online, I had found a plan online on how to build up to a mile. It took me 4 weeks and I slowly built up. And then after that 4 weeks, I'm like, let's find another plan. Let's find another process to build up to the 5K. And I started following that plan. Along the way, I found that getting outside, I'm an outside runner. I can't stand being inside. I love being outside. I've always loved being outside, anyways. But I found that having that purpose of something to do got me outside, got me moving, got me active. The physical activity began to, and being outside, seeing the sunrises, seeing the birds chirping, just getting some fresh air helped to improve my mood. It helped to improve my mindset. And then I thought, well, let's join the local running club. And I decided to join the local running club and attended their summer picnic and started making connections and friendships. And along the way, I discovered that, hey, I kind of like this running thing. And I found a the physical activity began to help deal with the depression symptoms. And being a biologist by trade, I began looking at it. There's scientific research that shows that being physically active does help with mental health issues. Finding that connection with other people, now I had a reason to connect to people outside my family and find some other connections. And these people were nothing but receptive and loving and kind. And finding that connection found me a purpose again. I found a community again. And that community helped give me a reason to get up in the morning, a reason to keep going in the morning. And they were nothing but supportive of where I was on my journey. And then after that first 5K, it's like, hey, I kind of like this. And then I signed up for another one. And then decided that the following year I was going to run my very first marathon. I personally don't recommend going straight from a 5K to a 10K to marathon, but it's what I did and took 5 months building up to that. But that gave me a reason to get out of the house. It gave me a reason to get moving. It gave me something to do again. And by doing that, it began to change the mindset I was having. It began to give me some purpose again. And I just fell in love with that. And then as that began to help improve the mindset and began to help the mental aspect of my day and my life, I began to change. I began to have that joy of getting out and doing something again, that beautiful feeling of having a purpose again. My entire being came back again.
And I can understand why. Like you said, there are scientific reasons behind why activity, the endorphins that is created, like
Yes.
the endorphins are like happy hormones, so you
Yes.
will feel better. And the activity created community for you, which also helps us feel better. Oftentimes, we get into a space where we're living such a routine, and then having something slightly different outside of our routine gives us something to look for. But you said something really important there, right? You talked about purpose. And for people, purpose looks different for everyone.
Yes.
Sometimes people want a purpose in life. Sometimes people just need a purpose in their day, right? Like a
Yes.
reason to get up and get moving and do something different. When I work with clients, one of the things that we do focus on is just that, finding purpose, because I think it often takes us away. When we're in survival mode, we kind of get sucked into this cycle of focusing on the thing that got us there in the first place. And
Yes.
having a purpose, whether it's a purpose for the day, a purpose, you started off, I want to run this 5K. That was a goal that drove you, right? So having something other to focus on gives us the capacity to do a little bit more in our day.
Absolutely. It's something I have found over the years, over and over again, that's so powerful. And it sounds so simple, just moving. A lot of people go, how can that help? It's so simple. It's almost crazy. I tell people that I start working with in my business that sometimes you're not going to feel like doing a full workout, but if you can just get 5, 10 minutes out of your day and give 5 to 10 minutes, that can feel like an accomplishment. Because if those days when you don't feel like either physically or emotionally doing something, just going for a 5 minute walk says, hey, I may not have done everything I was supposed to do for my plan today or for my ideas, but I did do something. I did get out and I did do something. And a lot of times, just getting out the door or just getting on the treadmill and giving that 5 minutes, you realize, huh, okay, this isn't so bad. I think I'll just make that 10 minutes or I'll make that 20 minutes. It a lot of times it's just getting moving. And when you say and you put in your day, I'm going to give at least 5 minutes of every day to something, whether that is activity, that is sitting down and doing some meditation, whether that is 5 minutes of just writing in a journal for gratitude. Having that 5 minute block in your week sounds so small, but 5 minutes a day over a week is over half an hour. And then after 2 weeks, that's an hour. And over the course of a year, those 5 minutes add up. And even if you just sit down and write a gratitude journal for 5 minutes a day, you've spent 5 minutes of every day for that week focusing in on something that you're thankful for, something that you're grateful for. And that small thing makes such an impact because it's very difficult to stay in that survival mode and stay in that negative mindset when you're purposely focusing in on something positive in your day. it changes you. It over time, it makes you totally different, and it's just something small.
And it also goes back to that scientific point, right? We talked about the endorphins earlier, right? When we
Yes.
set these small tasks for ourselves, which we are able to, like, say, yes, I did it. This is a dopamine hit, right? And that
Yes.
dopamine makes us
Yes.
feel good, right? So
Yes.
it's that commitment to ourselves, honoring that commitment also biologically makes
Exactly.
us feel better.
Matter of fact, it has been scientifically proven that, as crazy as this is, physically writing down a to-do list for the day and just checking that off gives us a dopamine hit. We get such a massive boost in our energy and our environment from something as simple as just crossing off a checklist. Physically writing it down and physically checking it off improves our mindset. And I think people, especially in this digital world, don't realize that it doesn't require a lot of detailed, hard plans to make our day and make our life better. It's just taking that first step. It's putting one foot in front of the other, whether that is carving out a number week, 5 minutes a day, or that's just writing out a simple, the top three things I need to do today. And I tell my clients, and I'm a strong advocate of this, rest, it can be a part of those top three things. Some days you have to put on there, what's my to-do list today? Take a rest day. And that's important because a lot of times we think if we're not actively doing something, then we're not being productive. But some days you need that rest day too. And if that is just taking, I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm going to sit in my chair and I'm going to just pay attention to my breathing and breathe in and breathe out and just take a 5 minute break from all the stress and just rest. That too is an amazing change. But we think, what good is just sitting for 5 minutes going to do? It sounds silly, but it works.
And you know what? Also, a lot of people don't know how to rest, right? Like we,
Exactly.
I had a point in my life where I felt guilty. If there were things that
Yes.
needed to be done and I'm resting, like what
Exactly.
am I
Exactly.
doing? But sometimes it does take that, right? Like you're a minister and the seventh day is for rest. And we have moved away from that. We have lived in this fast-paced world that has conditioned us to believe that we should be on the go all the time, and
Absolutely.
that negates the need for rest as if it's
Yeah.
just some buzzword. But our body needs it, our minds need it, right?
Yes. Yes.
And we gift ourselves peace when we rest, if we are
Yes,
able
exactly.
to. So, someone might be listening to this and be like, wow, I hear you that, I should get out and I should be more active, but I don't really have the motivation to do so. What do you say to that?
That's honestly why I advocate for and truly believe in looking at your calendar, looking at your week, and starting off. I personally recommend 5 minutes, but honestly, if you're having that much of trouble with motivation, start with 2 minutes. Block off 2 minutes in your day. Best scenario, 2 minutes at the same time so that you know every day that's what your time's dedicated for. But if you have to move it, you have to move it. That's life. Take that small, minuscule block and put that in your schedule. That is your time, whether that be physically active, whether that be taking a rest, whether that be, like I said earlier, meditation, but block that off in your schedule. That is your time. And just make that time critical. Just like you wouldn't skip an appointment to your doctor or you wouldn't skip an appointment to go to work, mark off this small amount of time. And if it is only 1 minute or is only 2 minutes, okay, that's your time, and that's what you're going to start with. And start off with the bare minimum you think you can do with. If 5 minutes sounds, oh, I can never do 5 minutes, okay, make it three, make it two. Find some schedule of time that you can be consistent with throughout your week and just mark that down. And know that at 5 a.m. every morning, I'm going to take a break and I'm either going to walk to my mailbox and back, or I'm going to walk around the block, or I'm going to sit down and actively journal, or I'm going to sit down and just take a breath worker. That's my time. That's my time. I've got to cut it out. And if doing it for every day sounds too overwhelming. Oh, I can't do that every day. I can't do that every day. Then start off with 3 days. Give yourself the time that you think you can do and bark it off and just make it sacred. Make that your time and put your phone on do not disturb. Put your phone in another room. Close your computer. That is your time. Let your husband, your wife, your kids know this is the time I've dedicated, and that is your time. And just focus in on what you want to do, whether that's walking, running, jumping up and down, reading a book, something that is your time. And it's amazing how just starting small makes a huge difference because you go, well, I'm only doing it 3 days a week. Yes, but then you get in the habit of that becomes your time for 3 days a week. Then you can add that fourth day. Then you can add that fifth day. And then you realize, well, okay, if I'm going out a walk for 5 minutes, I'm normally go 2 minutes out, 2 minutes back. But today, it's a really beautiful day out. I think I'll make that 10 minutes. And you let your significant other know, I'm definitely going to be back in five. I might be 10 minutes today. And if you decide that at 2.5 minutes, nah, I'm coming back today. Fine. But you'll find that sometimes you'll go, you know what? I think I can do 10 minutes today. And then you add that. And it's a slow building progress. The point is, you want to set a time that is doable, and you want to find your wins by celebrating those small victories each and every day. But if you don't make that time set aside, life will get in the way. And it'll be like, and some days, like I had personally, I had a run this week where I didn't feel like doing it. But you ask yourself, okay, am I physically unable to do my activity today? You know, if you're sick, you've got a cold, whatever. Okay, you missed the day because I've gotten in the way. Is my kid or my spouse sick, or is there something that I physically don't have this time to do that today? Okay, that day's fine. But if you ask yourself that mental inventory of, do I have a physical reason why I can't do this? Do I have a scheduling reason why I can't do this? Or is it just I don't feel like it today? And on those days where it's like, okay, well, I don't have a physical reason why I can't do this. I don't have a scheduling reason why I can't do this. And since it's such a small part you're starting off with, you go, I'm going to do this. I don't really mentally feel like it, but I've set this time aside. This is my time, and I'm going to do this today. And that's why you start small, because you build those small victories. That's what I would tell someone.
Absolutely. And basically, what I heard you say, in the absence of motivation, discipline is required. And that it's just
Yes.
it's just that discipline, you know, like we don't always feel like showing up, but we show up because we're disciplined. And I think
Exactly.
that is what is important, that commitment to ourselves. Well, Gerald, I have enjoyed this conversation. Tell us a bit more about how we can find you online.
You can find me online at my website at runrevcoaching.com. I'm on Instagram at runrevcoach_Gerald, and I'm on Facebook at runrevcoaching. You can find me online there, and you can also email me at gerald@runrevcoaching.com.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that information is in the show notes. So, to wrap it all up today, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
One key takeaway is if you want to make a change in your life, you start off with small changes. You're going to get to the end result by making small steps today. So the key takeaway is find that small time in your daily schedule that you can dedicate to you to making changes in your life and schedule that out. Make that a priority in your life. And it doesn't have to be big, it just needs to be done. So if that's 1 minute a day, if just 1 minute out of the day, that's all you can give, take that minute. If it's 2 minutes, take that minute. But make a time in your day when you can actively focus in on improving yourself. And over the course of time, you will transform because you'll look back and go, how did I get here? I didn't even think this was possible, but you got there by taking small steps.
They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And if you want to overcome your hurdles, you just have to commit to yourself. Thank you so much, Gerald, for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. And audience, thank you for catching another episode. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracks something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth. You're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.